Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 179 of Her, the podcast where you'll hear the naked truth about her mind, her body, her life, and today, her voice. What? What is she talking about? Well, stay tuned, literally, and we're going to get right to it because we have a terrific show coming up. Before we begin, just know that this episode is made possible by our wonderful friends at Smarty Pants Women's Vitamins, the delicious once-a-day gummies that contain all of the essential vitamins, minerals, and omega oils customized just for women. To learn more, hop on over to SmartyPantsVitamins.com. And here's your official reminder to click on iTunes after this episode to rate and review the show. I sit around just waiting to hear from you because your feedback is platinum, priceless to me. So come on down after the show and I'll remind you again. All right, it's time for Her.
Her, the podcast.
The naked truth about women.
Her mind, her body, her life. It's all about her.
So, you want to hear something really refreshing? How about a new novel way to build your confidence, feel better about life, boost your happiness, and decrease anxiety? No, it's not a pill. Just get that out of your head right now. It's actually going to come from your own voice. Like, yeah, you do have a voice. This is so cool. When I first heard about this, I just grabbed the woman behind it, Amber Petty, and I said, y'all better be coming on the Her podcast now and tell me all about it and all of our listeners because I think they're going to love this. So who is Amber Petty? She's a singing coach and writer from Los Angeles. From teaching at the American Academy of Dramatic Arts to starring in a national tour, an off-Broadway production of a popular parody musical, Amber has sung and taught around the country for over 10 years. After dealing with her own depression and anxiety, she started Sing a Different Tune to give people another tool to bring relaxation and happiness to a growing population of, oh well, worried women. Her website is singadifferenttune.com. And, you know, I love this. Amber, welcome to the Her podcast.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, so I'm going to make you sing. You know that. So you should just start getting anxious right now.
Sure.
Seriously, you know, when we first thought about doing this together on the Her podcast, I asked you to put together some studies on, you know, the relationship between just sort of getting out there and just singing and reducing anxiety and depression and all the rest of that. So what did you discover when you read through some of that and how does that figure into what you do?
Well, I had started all this kind of knowing anecdotally that singing makes you feel better in a very basic way. Because I've seen from myself that happen, but also working with clients, a lot of times you'll see people get emotional and be happy, sad, and kind of tap into an emotion that's been blocked or hiding. And when you sing, you have to let it go. And when you work with somebody one-on-one, you get to see that happen because it's a really small safe space and people feel comfortable getting a chance to let that step out. So I kind of had that in the back of my head. And then going through these studies, it was so exciting to see that there is growing scientific evidence to show that's true. That there's been studies to show that singing in groups promotes happiness and mental well-being. There were many studies about that, that it lowered anxiety in a similar way to swimming. One study specifically stated, some compared it to yoga in terms of how it helps your body physically relax and how it decreases your physical and mental anxiety. And then there are even some fun ones about it increasing your immune function, which that was a surprise. I didn't think I could sing my way out of a cold. So there's even these little physiological things like that that I hadn't quite realized. So the evidence is kind of new, but it's really growing. And to me, singing is, it's kind of a way to just trick yourself into doing a lot of anti-anxiety sort of tools. So if you have an anxiety problem, people will tell you to breathe deeply and try to get your body to relax. And in singing, that's the very basic thing of it. You know, you have to breathe deeply. And when you sing, as opposed to when you just breathe deeply in your own exercise at home, you have to do it. You breathe, you expend the air, and you have to take that deep breath in again to keep going. Also, singing is just more fun than sitting in your house and like counting to four and trying to take a deep breath. So I think that's part of it. It's a way to kind of trick yourself into doing these typical anti-anxiety techniques, but in a way that also lets you put your voice out into the world literally and engage with like all the wonderful emotion and kind of freedom that music gives us.
Oh, I love it. You know, that whole issue of taking a deep breath, you know, you're right. I mean, that's what the pranayama is. And if you look at yoga and so many other meditation methods, it's all about, you know, paying attention to the breath and all the rest of it. You know, not being a singer, please don't make me sing, please.
Not
being a singer. Although I do it on my own here and there, and I did sing in that choir. We're going to get back to it. But, you know, that whole issue of taking a deep breath, you know, non-singers don't know all of this. They just look at people like Celine Dion and, you know, whomever, and they say, well, you know, they just, it just comes naturally, and there must not be a whole lot of methodology behind it. But there is. That deep breath is really a fascinating thing. In other words, what you're doing is you're giving voice to your meditation. Kind of interesting, isn't it?
It is. Singing is kind of a, again, like a trick yourself into meditation, because you have to breathe deeply, you have to relax your body in certain ways, and you have to keep your mind relatively clear. So if you're singing a song, you're maybe thinking about the lyrics or kind of picturing, you know, the memories that it brings you, but you're not having swirling thoughts about everything else that's happening. So it is like meditation. But for people like me, where meditation has been hard and sometimes I think it's boring or whatever, which isn't a great thing to think, but it's kind of true to me. But singing is not boring. You know, it's like a trick. You can sing, achieve similar results, or at least get yourself into a more relaxed and less anxious state. And it's also just fun. You get to sing a song you liked in high school and have those memories and release that emotion and also feel a physical response.
Now, what happens when you sing in a group? In other words, you know, people who do the choirs and, you know, whatever it may be, but they're singing together. There's something that happens there. There's a magic that goes on where they're all kind of synchronizing and suddenly you're kind of in a very magical place. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there were a few studies about the effect of choral and group singing upon anxiety and overall happiness. One study found that people in a choir, that their hearts actually started beating in rhythm together from syncing up with the music and syncing up with the breath. So you have that physical and kind of magical feeling and idea of like literally our hearts are beating as one, you know, as poetic as possible. And other studies found that students' happiness in college courses raised after participating in group singing, that anxiety decreased participating in group singing. And part of it is because you are coming together, you're building friendship over a common ground, so that's already great. And then also you are all being vulnerable together. Singing, even if it's with a huge group, you really have to open up a part of yourself to do that. And it's why it's so scary for so many people. And it's why the really best singers hit you so emotionally, because they're really opening up a part of themselves that they kind of hide away most of the time. So if you can do that in a group and you're all choosing to be vulnerable together, you're going to grow closer because of that. And you're going to feel the culmination of that emotion. And it's a feeling of belonging and togetherness and a release of anxiety that I feel like a lot of women are looking for. Like people, I'd say women, people in particular, but women even more so, are feeling very anxious and isolated and lonely. It's something I see and hear all the time. And so group singing, even if it's just two people, it does alleviate that a little bit. It just gives you that different outlet and different form of connection that a lot of people would never consider, because they would just think, well, I'm not a singer, so forget it.
Well, you know, the singing in a choral especially, or, you know, it doesn't matter, you know, if it's three people or 30, it's been called a stress-free zone, because when you're singing, you're not only performing physically, you know, with the deep breaths and making sure you're getting the best tones and all the rest of it, but you're also having to concentrate. I mean, even if you're reading sheet music, right? Or whether it's all been memorized one way or the other, you can't be thinking about your personal and professional woes at the same time. You've got to rock and roll with a group. And so that's a really cool stress-free zone. And I'll bet it's a reason why a lot of people like to do something like that, don't you think?
Oh, definitely. It's just an easy way to bring people together. And singing is joyous. I mean, it's really, it goes back to we sing and people sing in church because that is a way to honor God, you know, in religious circumstances. That all sounds a little fancy and stuff like that, but it's true. Like, people have sung for ages because it is a way to show, like, the greatest joy and emotion, and to do that with other people is a stress-free and rewarding experience.
I love it. Okay, and it's also something where you're continuing to learn. Now, learning is super important throughout life, needless to say. You're learning new songs and harmonies and new methods for keeping tempo. And this has been found to be especially helpful in older people. You know, when I had read that part of the science, I recall listening to my father-in-law, who, as you know, even though he was in his 90s, he was, you know, beginning to show early signs of dementia. But I'll tell you one thing. All you had to do was get him to sing Frank Sinatra, and he was rocking, rolling, remembered every word, you know, kept a wonderful tune the entire time, was positively joyous. You could see it all over his face. And you can't tell me that didn't work for him. Have you seen that too?
I've definitely seen that. And you can see it in people. It's obviously most effective in that sense of triggering some memories and physical function and even a little bit of speech function in elderly patients. And studies have found that, yeah, to be really helpful in helping people recall things, do some basic physical movements. And again, it's that crazy thing of it's a song you haven't heard in 20 years, but you heard it a million times when you were 10, and all those words flow back to you. And you'll see that, you know, if somebody's 21 or 91, that kind of certain musical things are so embedded in us, it almost bypasses the sort of logical parts of our brain. And triggering that, I think, can be, it kind of almost lets you trust yourself again in a way. You know those things are there. You know those words are there and that music is there. And it just allows you to open it up and let that happen. So, yeah, you get to learn something new, develop a new skill, and also kind of recall some of the emotions and happiness and stuff of your past.
I love it. And, you know, you could always see this when, you know, people are in buses, you know, like a big team or something, and someone strikes up a specific tune. And then next thing you know, everybody's getting into it, no matter, you know, what your voice sounds like. You're just sort of joyously, happily having just a boatload of fun and a tsunami of endorphins, you know, are going on at exactly the same time. So, you know, if you go to your website, sing a different tune. Now, let's just say someone wants to engage you, and what they're really looking to achieve is to find their voice. Now, obviously, this is, you know, a deep thing. I'm not talking necessarily about, a true performer, singer who really wants to refine. Those people are fairly straightforward, and I'm sure you've got a truckload of people you work with. However,
sure.
What if now we just have, you know, just someone out there who is just utterly intrigued with this and really, you know, very courageously approaches you with, well, let's just say not the world's greatest voice, but they want to find their voice and they want to find out how you use this to be able to have some fun, elevate their happiness and decrease their anxiety, whether they're doing it in a choral or whether they're just singing happily in the shower or when they're walking their dogs or doing it to a radio tune or whatever. So what do you, let's take it through the steps. What do you do with someone? Let's just say they just called in now from Florida and they need your help. What are you going to do?
Yeah. So I get a lot of messages from people who say, like, I don't know, I don't have a good voice, or what if I can't sing, or what have you. And like, that's great. You're the exact person I want to work with. Because the reality is, yes, there are people like the Celine Dions of the world and the Aretha Franklins who are just, you know, they are blessed. That is wonderful. I'm not going to turn anybody into Adele overnight, and I don't need to. But what we can do is we can break down some of that fear you have around singing and about revealing your voice and your emotions, and find the beauty that lies within your unique sound. So in doing that, you would do a one-on-one lesson just over like Skype, over a kind of video call platform. And first, I just lead through breathing exercises, because it sounds so stupid to tell somebody like, let's practice breathing now, guys. But breathing for singing or breathing for relaxation is different than how you breathe normally. So we would go through a couple quick breathing exercises, allowing your body to relax, opening that kind of low belly breathing, very similar to what they do in yoga, and also let some of that fear and anxiety around singing subside. Then we go through a couple vocal warm-ups just to get used to hearing your voice. For me, it's not so much about teaching people how to have perfect pitch or perfect rhythm. That kind of stuff can be tweaked later on. It's just about getting comfortable hearing yourself. And when you do a vocal warm-up, you do silly things just like sounds like that, you know, me, me, ma, mo, moo, all that typical stuff. But I do it because, one, it's good for warming up your voice and making you sound better when you do sing. But also, it kind of disconnects your brain from thinking about singing in the way you've sung it before. When you're just kind of making weird sounds, and I make them with you, and I don't sound great doing them either, you know, you're just getting comfortable using your voice in a different way. And then we'll work on a song of your choosing, or I can pick a song. And I like to pick songs that are kind of like more fun, ballsy, anthem-y kind of songs, if possible, because I think they're just easier to get into. So then we sing through a little bit of the song. You get, in our first session, it's a lot about just getting comfortable with it. And as you get more comfortable, and as you're able to release some of that fear and let out some of your emotion and reduce the anxiety through breathing, you'll start to find that your voice isn't so terrible as you ever thought it was. Because I've heard all kinds of singers. I've worked with all sorts of people in musical improv, whatever. I've really heard the whole gamut. And I've, some of my favorite songs and classes I've taught were from people with voices who were just ordinary, because they were able to just kind of relax, connect to their breath, and just release whatever emotion the song made them think of. And if you think like of, I always think of like REM and Michael Stipe, or even Oasis for all my 90s references here. But it's like their voices aren't great voices, and that's true for lots of pop singers, but we still love them because they're unique and strong and true to themselves. And that's something I think anybody can find, no matter what they think about the quality of their singing voice.
And at the same time, you know, they're really learning to be able to build a sense of self-confidence in a way they probably never thought they could do before. And this is maybe especially true for people who are pretty introverted and really don't kind of go to that place. And, you know, and so I think that what you're doing here is you're literally, you know, and figuratively giving them voice. And don't you think that when you do something like that, Amber, you're also helping them in other aspects of their life? Let's just say it's someone who has to now start giving presentations at work, and it's really important to be able to articulate what they're going to be, you know, presenting and really do it well. So how does singing help with something like that?
Yeah, so it kind of works twofold. So one, if you go out of your limb and you totally just sing out, like sing out full, no matter what you sound like, but you just like let caution the wind and sing it out in front of me in a lesson, a person you probably don't know, that's a pretty scary thing. But you feel that you got through it, you got over it, and probably felt better at the end. So then when you get into a speaking situation, any speaking situation is way less scary than just singing in front of a stranger, I have found, at the very least. So you know you've gotten through kind of the scariest thing. So the more comfortable thing, speaking about a topic you're very familiar with, starts to feel a little bit easier. Also, the breathing techniques are exactly the same. One of the biggest things with speaking is just that people get nervous, people's bodies get tight, their throat gets tight, their voice sometimes goes up an octave, and they forget to breathe. And again, it sounds crazy, but you really do. You'll breathe the bare minimum to stay alive as you're giving your speech, but not enough to give yourself a real voice to slow down and articulate your point and make yourself sound as calm and cool and confident as you want to appear to be in your speech. So from doing something scary and learning these breathing techniques, both of those things work for speeches in front of an office, speeches in front of a million people, even if you're nervous, going on dates or talking to people, just knowing to breathe and reminding yourself to breathe deeply really helps let some of that anxiety fall away.
All right. So what about karaoke?
Yeah.
How does this figure in? Come on now. Talk to me.
I mean, karaoke is the best. So there's always that. There's a reason why there's karaoke, because everybody likes singing. I mean, most people do. And karaoke can sometimes be a little different because part of it is like, yeah, you want to have an audience clap for you. It's a great feeling. It's awesome to go in front of a crowd, have them watch you, and then clap at the end. That's super fun. And you get to live your little rock star fantasy for a moment. And I think that's perfectly wonderful. And when I go to karaoke, I'm never mad when somebody can't sing. I'm only mad when somebody doesn't commit. So when I see somebody do like a half-hearted, you know, Baby Got Back, and they're just kind of like mumbling the words, that doesn't please me. But you could have whatever kind of voice, but if you just like sing it like, yeah, I deserve the spotlight right now. I've seen tons of performances that are truly moved me. I saw one at a cruise ship I was on of a guy singing a song from Phantom of the Opera, this long song called Music of the Night, which I would never recommend somebody sing. And yet I was pretty much crying by the end of it because he was just singing to his friends in this karaoke audience that he met on the cruise and how much they meant to him and how this song somehow kind of represented that for him. So I think karaoke is a wonderful pastime. And it's just a lot of fun and gives you validation and a chance to be totally uninhibited and the rock star version of yourself.
I love it. And okay, Amber Petty, what is your favorite karaoke song?
Let's see. My favorite song to sing is, for some reason, Skyfall from the movie Skyfall, the James Bond movie. But it's a little slow. My favorite right now is probably You Ought to Know by Alanis Morissette. And my favorite version of it is a dance remix, which some karaoke bar once had.
where I got to sing a dance remix of You Oughta Know by Alanis Morissette, which was super fast, but that was probably my favorite song I ever did.
Oh, I love it. And what's the first song you remember ever singing?
I sang all the time. I mean, like, I always sang to myself and stuff. I wanted to be a singer since I was three. I was very adamant about that. Pretty clear about my singing goals as a three-year-old. And so I remember singing to, like, Circle in the Sand by Belinda Carlisle and stuff like that. But the first real song I sung in a talent show and really connected with was Part of Your World from The Little Mermaid. And that song was just so special and real to me, and I was so excited to sing it at the talent show. And even still, I sang it in a cabaret show I did a few years ago. That song has such an effect on anybody in the, 30s, any girl in like the 30s, late 20s age range, I feel like. And it certainly did for me.
All right. So you just walked into this one. You know what I'm going to ask you to do. You're going to have to give me just a, gift all of our listeners with a little excerpt here from The Little Mermaid. Take it away,
Amber
Petty.
Oh, great. Okay. I want to be where the people are. I want to see, them dancing, walking around on those. What's that word again? Oh, feet. Flipping your fins, you don't get too far. Legs are required for jumping, dancing, strolling around on the, what's that word again? Street. Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering the night, part of that world.
Okay, do not ever make me sing that. Oh my gosh, you do so beautifully. Okay, here I'm going to take a couple deep breaths. Okay, here we go. Oh. And this is about where I am, okay? Okay, deep breath. Okay. Ba 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 baran ba 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 baran ba 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 baran.
Hey,
I just did
that. That doesn't sound that different for the record.
Okay. I mean, it's me and the Beach Boys. Okay. That's where that one just went.
You could step right in. Step right in.
Well, you know, I also think of, like you mentioned the religious thing. A lot of people say they can't sing and yet they sang in church. So, I'm a recovering Catholic in more ways than one. And I sang in the choir when I was growing up in Catholic schools. And, we would all sing, like, Credo in Unum Deum. It was okay. It felt really good to say a lot of that. And I'm sure no matter what religion you're in, everybody could sing something that was part of those rituals. And yet, you don't really feel self, conscious or anything because it held such deep meaning. And, you were part of, does that make sense?
Yeah, you're part of a group and they're all believing the same thing and sending the kind of same emotion out there. And that helps. And then also in church, we're not in a context, you're not in a mindset of singing necessarily, even though you're all singing the hymns together. It's part of church. It's what you do at church. It's a ritual. You all sing it together. Whereas when people then try to sing on their own or even in other types of choirs sometimes, then they start comparing themselves to all the professional singers of the world. And if they don't sound exactly like that, well, then they must be terrible and should never sing a single note. So I think in church, we do have that ritual and deep, you're singing for someone else, for someone else's benefit in church. You're able to kind of get outside your worries about that. And if you can take that same kind of thing, then you could sing anywhere and feel the same way.
All right. Now, everyone out there in her podcast land, we are talking to Amber Petty. That's P-E-T-T-Y. And her website is singadifferenttune.com, which is also her Facebook page, too. singadifferenttune.com. This has just been one of the most unique podcasts I've done. I never would have thought about this because, well, I'm stuck in ba 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 Baran land with my voice. Thank you for laughing, and I appreciate that. And
I just like the term ba 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 Baran land.
I know, totally. And I'm just simply saying, I love what you're doing with giving voice to people in more ways than one, and reducing their anxiety and fears and helping them excel and perform better in life in general. Amber, thank you for gifting us all with this really unique idea, and just run with it because I know it's going to be a major hit. Thanks so much for being on the Herb Podcast to share all of this with us.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight.
All right. And everyone out there, please right now run on over to iTunes, rate and review this show because this was a winner in case you haven't figured it out. So we're sitting here waiting to hear from you because we love to do that. I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter, Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today, and stay well.